on either of the passages, the psalm, nor indeed that reading from John this evening. I want to turn your attention to a brief passage in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. And I'm thinking under the title, Run for Your Life. So if you do have a Bible or there's one beside you and you haven't opened it, it might be helpful if you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. I'll read these four verses to you. The Apostle Paul is using analogy and metaphors of the athlete to explain aspects of the Christian life and walk with God. So verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. Again, may it please the Lord to bless that reading of his word. So using analogy and metaphors of the athlete, the apostle refers to our walk, our life, our coming before God. It's a race. And the first thing that he points out is the attitude of the athlete. Notice in verse 24 where we commence the reading. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, or all run in the race, but one or only one receiveth the prize? One wins the gold medal. One wins in Paul's day the crown, the Stephanos, the laurel wreath. One gets the honor. Well, of course, with regards to running the Christian race, every true believer, every true Christian, everyone who has true faith in Christ wins the race, wins the crown, attains to eternal life. But it's this attitude that Paul is referring to. Using this metaphor and analogy, don't you know, he says, there are many runners in a race, but only one wins the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Let this be your attitude when it comes to the Christian race and running that race, that you might win, that you might cross the finishing line as one redeemed through Christ, trusting in him, reconciled already to God before you stand before him. So firstly, of course, there are certain things that one has to do before you can even begin the race. And this was so even in Paul's day. You know, you couldn't turn up as a 25-stone man to run the marathon. Why, you'd be in no fit state or condition. And so it is in the Christian race. If you're not converted, if you're not redeemed, if you're not a saved person, someone who's truly repented of their sin and sought forgiveness from Christ individually, personally, consciously. If you've never done that, you don't even qualify to begin the race, to enter the race. You're disqualified at the outset. And of course, in all the major athletics events, unless you qualify, you can't run at all. And of course, with regards to the Olympics, for example, even if you get there, there are heats, except for all but the long distance races, the very longest distances. You have to run heats before you even get to the final with an opportunity to win the prize, to win the gold medal. So then, what qualifications are required to run the Christian race? I've mentioned some, of course. You need to repent. True repentance. A willingness to abandon yourself and sin and your own ways and to submit to Christ and his rule, his gracious, his compassionate, his loving rule indeed. But you must repent of that sin so offensive to him, that sin that condemns you before God. We're transgressors. We've trespassed. We've gone places we ought not to have gone. We've stepped over the line. We've gone beyond the line, the demarcation. We've sinned. We've gone into territory we shouldn't have gone into. We're transgressors. We're trespassers. We must repent, confess, turn from our sin. We have to believe. Pure, unalloyed belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are qualifications to begin the race. We must appeal to the Lord, beseech him, pleading with him for pardon and forgiveness. Of course, you know, if we're serious or were serious athletes with any hope or intention of winning the gold medal, we'd have to see to our diet. You know, professional athletes are very particular and meticulously follow certain diets. You know, it wouldn't do to be seen in McDonald's every night of the week or KFC if you had any serious hopes of winning a gold medal in the Olympics. You see, we need a serious diet. The truth of the Lord and Scripture and the glorious doctrines of salvation, justification by faith. Are you serious about running the Christian race? You'll be serious about your diet, what you feed yourself on, really. Do you consider these things? Is this your diet? Justification by faith, the imputed righteousness of Christ, sanctification through, by Christ, by his Spirit. You see, this is why some will never be athletes at all. They don't like the notion of being disciplined. I've read some of the disciplines, some of the training regimes that some of these athletes put themselves through. You know, some of these young men that attain to the highest levels, say in swimming, they've been up and some of them before they've gone to their work or college. For most of them, they start as very young people, as you know. They've been in the pool from 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. They've swum meters and meters and meters up and down, speed, then distance, then speed and distance. They've been swimming for hours. And then they go to their school, their college, perhaps the job. And then they go back again in the evening and they do the same thing all over again. as well as adhering meticulously to their diet and so on, and doing weights in the gym and running or whatever. They are so disciplined. You see, they're focused. They're serious about winning. They're serious about attaining and reaching their goal, the Olympics, a medal, the highest, the best, the gold medal, if at all possible. Well, some will never begin the Christian race. You see, they're not disciplined enough. They're not serious enough. And if they consider Christian doctrine, they don't like Christ's exclusivity. They want their junk food as well. And in the Christian, to apply that in the Christian race, they want teachings of Christ, but they have their own views, their own ideas of salvation. They want their own opinions and their own views and thoughts to have as much authority as the teaching of God's word. They like this admixture of truth with error. I hope that's not you. Are you serious about running the Christian race? About crossing the finishing line? As Paul puts it, know ye not that they which run, all run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. If you entered the Christian race, are you serious about this? You ought to be, of course. Your life's at stake. I've given it the title, Run for Your Life. This literally is a run, a race for your life. Have you started the race? Have you qualified? Then, if not, you must come to the Lord himself. Notice as he continues the analogy, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that strives to be number one, the gold medal winner, the laurel wreath winner, is temperate in all things. Well, again, this just continues this notion of discipline, being earnest, meaning it. You'll never going to win unless you prepare well, train hard and consistently. And again, you'll never win life if you're not serious. See, couch potatoes aren't going to win medals. Do you like to hear the gospel? Do you like to engage in Christian debate and discussion? But that's as far as it goes. That's like the couch potato. He might lie there and he might like athletics. That is, everybody else doing it. He likes to see them. He likes to see the best compete one against another. But he reclines on his couch with the popcorn or the crisps and the Coke beside him, and he's no intention of ever running a race, of ever winning a medal. Are you a little bit like this with regards to the Christian race? You know, some couch potatoes are full of knowledge. They can quote facts. They can tell you who won the gold medal at this Olympics, previous Olympics, 5 Olympics ago. They can tell you first, second, and third. They have so much general knowledge or very specific knowledge on particular races and so forth. Incredible knowledge. But it won't do them any good with regards to winning anything themselves. They'll never cross the line. they'll never even get to the Olympics. The closest they'll get is watching it on telly. Is that the closest you'll get to being a Christian friend? You'll love to talk about Christian things. You'll engage in discussion and debate. But like the couch potato who's just not sporty and so on. Oh, incidentally, he may have or she may have other interests. That's their legitimate reason for not engaging in running races of any description or kind. They're more into music or arts, or they're writers or they're painters. But you see, the Christian race isn't optional like this. It isn't an alternative to doing something else, like the couch potato has. No, this is so serious. Your life is at stake. Run for your life. Everlasting life is at stake. You know, even in the Olympics, if you were to get there, if you didn't win a medal, that's the extent of your loss. Oh, you might be so disappointed if you had the times and so on, but you just didn't win a medal. Greatly disappointed, but that would be the extent of it. No one would go to your house, for example, to seize it or take your car or valuables because you didn't win. But you see, in the spiritual realm, not to run, not to cross the line, not to run as to obtain the crown, the gold medal, isn't just to miss out. It's to lose everything. It's to lose life. It's to lose your soul. It's to lose your eternity, an eternity of blessing and bliss and meaning and happiness in the very presence of the Lord Jesus and all his people, all the redeemed. Can you see what's at stake then? How important it is to be serious about this. Again, don't just settle for discussion and debate. I'm sure you've seen those who turn up for the marathon races, you know, in the cities. Think of the London Marathon. There's the very serious athletes, and they're at the front. When the starting gun, if it is a gun, is fired, they're off. They're serious athletes. Each of them wants to cross that line first. But behind them are all the others running for charities or whatever. And they're all dressed like big floppy bunnies or something. They've got some outfit on. They're not serious about winning. They just want to run to get some money. Again, are you serious? There is this serious side to it, isn't it? That's humorous. That's funny. But you know, are you a serious athlete when it comes to the Christian race? Or are you a bit of a joker? You talk well. You can debate well. You discuss well. But you haven't really made any serious attempt to repent, to believe. Or if you did begin, you so quickly gave up. And now, oh, you're nowhere. Well, thankfully you're listening. You're here, you're present. Surely that means that there's still a desire. Well, we'll seek the Lord. Ask him for his grace. Ask him for his help. Ask him to show you what's at stake. Your soul. Your immortal soul. Your eternal well-being and blessing and health and joy. verse 25, which we've just expounded. I hope applied. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, is measured, is controlled in all things. Now they do it, that is, those in Paul's day running for the laurel wreath, they do it. They run in the races today to obtain a corruptible crown, but we in the Christian race, an incorruptible. What the runner in the Christian race attains to, and every true Christian is a winner. Every true believer in Christ crosses the finishing line. No question about that. And they attain to the gold crown, the gold crown of eternal life and bliss and blessing. We run to obtain an incorruptible crown. Oh, think, friends, isn't it worth running the race? Verse 26. Listen again, the apostle applies this to himself now. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now notice the word that's translated in our Bibles as uncertainly. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. The word means obscure, unknown, insubstantial. He means it's a real race. I'm so determined. I don't just run a virtual race. I'm sure you've observed, if you're of any interest in athletics at all, and maybe even not much interest, you've just happened to be watching the television or the Olympic Games when they come round, and high jumpers in particular. And you know, what I've noticed in it, it seems to be a habit now, or part of their routine. And many of the top high jumpers do this. They're standing, it's their turn. They've got to go. And they're standing and they're looking over at the bar, and usually at quite an angle to it, because they run across, don't they, diagonally, and then leap. But as they're standing there, and their time has started, because they get a certain time, they're looking, and you see them with their hands, if you can see me now, and they'll do something like this. They're going, and they're visualizing their steps. They have this, they're so trained to a certain way and a certain style of jump, they know exactly how many steps they must take as they sprint towards the bar to reverse and then flip over. But you see, they're visualizing their jump before they actually jump. Now Paul says, I'm not visualizing anything. I'm not shadow boxing. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, not just virtually. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not sparring. I'm in the actual competition. I'm engaged in it. I'm going to do the jump. I've set off on the race. I'm not picturing the race and steps. If I was a high jumper, no, not as one that beats the air. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. See, the Christian race isn't a theory. It's not virtual race. It's not about thought. It's not just a creed. It's not a theory. It's not even knowing the truth, merely understood, discussed, debated, analyzed and examined. many talk about Christian things, the faith and Christianity and so on, Christian issues, where Christianity might fit in our world today. But you know, you've got to be actually in the race. Consider it deeply, of course you must. But do more than merely consider and visualize and picture what it might be to be a Christian or what you might face as a Christian. Trust yourself into the hands of Christ. Enter the race. Come to Him. Repent. Believe. And start the race. Discover then what you have to do and what you must face and obstacles to overcome and so on, because then you'll have His most wonderful help. Let Him coach you. Let Him lead you. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. Don't stand back and think of all the negatives. No, see that the Lord, if you're truly converted, will see you cross that finishing line. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I do everything I can. I'm in the race now. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my help. He says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to be one that just talks about Christianity or discusses religion and comparative religions and speaks of Christ as if He is like another prophet of another faith or another religion. I've got to see that Christ is unique. Christ is supreme. There is but one way to God. I must start the race. I have a short time. This is urgent. Come while you're able. Come while you may. Run to Christ. Seek Him. Ask His forgiveness. I know perhaps the reason many don't, and maybe you haven't, is that you're frightened. You truly are afraid that having started, you wouldn't be one of those that cross the finishing line. You wouldn't make it. Well, let me encourage you. You know, don't treat Christianity as a theory or a mere topic to ponder. No, come to the Lord Himself. I wonder if you remember this. You'll have to be at least 28 for this to have happened in your lifetime. So you'll need to be probably well in excess of 28 to really remember it. But there's a beautiful illustration for those of you that have fears with regards running the race. I don't know why you haven't started. Your soul's at stake. That should be enough. Your eternal well-being and existence is at stake. And what it will be like for you, whether in all abject woe and misery forever and ever, that's enough. But look, think of the joy and the mercies and the love and the goodness of God, the kingdom of Christ, the beauty of His world, the new world. You say, but I still have all those fears. I still am apprehensive. I've still concerns. 1992 Olympics. They were held in Barcelona. There was a runner for Great Britain running in the 400 meters. His name was Derek Redmond. Now, he had qualified for the semi-finals in the heats for the 400 meters. He actually had qualified, by the way, with the fastest time from his previous heat. Well, the gun sounded. He started to run. He was going well. He was looking strong. And then he pulled up with an agonizing look on his face. His hamstring had gone, torn hamstring. Now, rather than just sit down, because he couldn't even put his foot on the ground, his hamstring had snapped. He was in agony. Now, I suspect I would have just fallen down and cried. Think of all the training, all the efforts, all the self-sacrifice. But you know, Derek Redmond wanted to cross the line. If that was all he could do, all hopes of a medal had gone. He wouldn't even run in the final. But he hopped. He started to hop. And every hopped step he was taking, he had to put his other foot on the ground at some point, and you could see the excruciating pain across his face. And again, I think I don't know if he was weeping, but you could understand it, all those years of effort and training and so on, and that self-denial. And then something extraordinary happened. And some of you will remember this. They still show this clip over and over again. You can see it for yourself. But his father was down near trackside, and he leapt over the barrier, watching his son in agony and hopping, but wanting to cross that line. And he ran to him, eluding the security men who didn't try too much or too strongly to prevent him. And he got to his son, and he put his shoulder next to him, and his son put his arm over his dad's shoulder. And the two of them, Derek hopping, Jim walking and supporting his son, both of them with tears in their eyes, cross the line. Now, if he had only been 5 meters from the line and so far ahead of everybody else, when his hamstring had torn and his dad had hopped over and got him and got him over the line first, he still wouldn't have qualified, would he? He would have been disqualified. You can't cross with help like that. But you see, the Christian life is different, friend. You're with your fears and your apprehensions. Christians don't run this race at all without the invisible Father, who's there, and he's got us, and he's holding us, and he's keeping us running. And many times we'd give up, we'd fall, hamstrings would be torn, as it were, and we would never get across that line. But you see, our Father is there. And like Derek Redmond's Father Jim, who saw his son and couldn't bear to see him not get across the line, seeing his son's determination, he got there to help him, and he was saying surely to himself, I'll get you across that line, son, if it's the last thing I do. Now, we don't often liken Christ to our Father. And we speak of Father, we think of God the Father. And that would be legitimate in the illustration I've just given. But I want you to look to the Lord Jesus himself here. Because you see, you know he's actually called the Father as well. I often quote in verse at Christmas time. I'll just read the words to you. Many of you will know them already. They're found in Isaiah at chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here is our Lord Jesus. And if we come in repentance and true faith, if we trust him, he's there every step of the race, every step you take. He's there supporting. He'll never let you fail. You'll get across that line. You'll be his. You'll be his forever. You'll be crowned with that gold crown of everlasting life. Then give up your fears and your concerns and your worries. Just look to this omnipotent and glorious and almighty Savior of sinners, who died for sinners that they might start the race, who then runs with them to see that they'll finish the race. And when they get across the line, he's there to crown them with life eternal. There's no one like him. Truly there isn't, nor ever could be. Do you know the greatest crown of all will be to being able to look into his face and say, Lord, I don't know why you showed such love and compassion and mercy to me. I don't know how. I don't know why you could love me. But it's so obvious you did. Friend, don't miss out on that. Not for anything. Run this race. Take it seriously. Don't lie on the couch. Don't know all about the race, like these anoraks that know all about things, but never actually engage in them. Start the race. Come, repent of your sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's sing our closing hymn. It's 460.